Quick question before we start. Did you look at the Golami paper?
I did, yeah. And honestly, the chart on page one stopped me cold. What was your reaction to it?
3.0 times versus 1.6 times. Compute versus memory bandwidth. 2 decades. It's not a performance gap, it's a measurement gap. The whole industry has been pointing at the wrong ceiling.
And the thing is, you'd never know it from how these chips get sold. Like the H100 spec sheet leads with 141 petaflops, and that number is just enormous and impressive. And it's also, according to the UC Berkeley team, largely beside the point for inference workloads.
Right, a GPU with twice the flops and the same memory bandwidth will run inference at nearly the same speed. That's not a footnote, that's the finding.
Which makes me wonder what the procurement officer's story actually feels like from the inside. Someone reads that spec sheet in good faith, they deploy on NVIDIA's hardware, and then the inference latency barely moves.
Frankly, that's the failure mode nobody wants to name. So today we're getting into why compute scaling stopped being the constraint, and what actually is.
And if compute has raced ahead for 20 years, why does the data say it barely matters for inference? That's the thing I want to actually understand by the end of this.
Think of it like a kitchen. Big commercial kitchen full of chefs, every burner going, all of them standing there ready. Now there's one door, one delivery door. Every ingredient comes through that one door. The chefs can cook as fast as you like. They cannot cook faster than ingredients arrive.
And the door is memory bandwidth.
That's the whole thing. Token generation speed is approximately memory bandwidth divided by bytes per token, not a function of peak to flops. That's the sentence.
Wait, so every single token we generate, the whole model has to come through that door, like every time?
Every token, full weight set, every time. The model doesn't stay loaded, it gets pulled from VRAM back through that pipe on each generation step. So you've got this enormous compute engine sitting there and it's waiting every single token.
That's okay, that reframes the entire procurement story we were just telling. Because the chefs aren't the problem. Adding more chefs does nothing if the door doesn't get wider.
Right, and here's where the arithmetic intensity framing, Williams, Waterman, Patterson, the 2009 roofline model becomes the actual diagnostic. It's not headline TFLOPS, it's flops per byte. That ratio is what tells you whether you're memory bound or compute bound. Inference has very low arithmetic intensity. You do a small amount of math per byte moved, so the roofline says memory bound, full stop.
So the spec sheet number, the petaflops, it's measuring the chefs. And nobody's measuring the door.
Exactly, and the ridge point is where that distinction gets precise. Williams, Waterman, and Patterson's 2009 framework draws a line. Below a certain arithmetic intensity, you are memory bound. Above it, compute bound. That line is the ridge point. LLM inference decoding lives well below it. Not close, not borderline.
Wait, so there's an actual threshold, like a specific number you cross?
The ridge point shifts by hardware, but the ratio is the same diagnostic, flops per byte. If your kernel does very little math per byte it moves, you land left of the ridge, memory bound. And autoregressive decoding, one token at a time, pulling the full weight set each step. That's one of the lowest intensity operations you can run on a GPU.
So picture that infrastructure lead, Sunday afternoon, she's comparing procurement bids, H100 spec sheets across 3 vendors, and every number in front of her is a TFLOPS figure. 141 paid FLOPS here, something slightly higher there, and the roofline model is saying, none of that matters for what she's actually buying the chip to do.
None of it. The ceiling that binds her workload isn't on that sheet.
She's not making a bad decision, you know. She's reading the document she was given. It's just that the document is answering a different question than the one her latency numbers will ask.
Right, but actually that's where I'd push slightly. A GPU with twice the TLOPS and the same memory bandwidth doesn't just run inference at the same speed. It can run it at nearly identical speed asterisk while consuming more power asterisk. So it's not neutral, it's actively worse on cost per token.
Oh, that's a sharper version of the problem than I had.
And it gets sharper, because the answer, the actual architectural response to the memory wall, is what NVIDIA's Blackwell B200 attempts with HBM3E stacking and the NVLink scaling, 8 terabytes per second. That part we need to get to, because the solution generates its own set of constraints that are frankly not on any spec sheet either.
8 terabytes per second, though. I mean, going from the H100's 3.35 to the H200's 4.8 and then jumping all the way to 8.0 on the B200, that's not incremental. That's a different kind of architectural bet, and I keep wondering what it actually costs to cash it in.
It costs 1,000 watts.
Wait, per GPU?
B200 TDP hits 1000W, H100 and H200 both sat at 700W. That 300-watt jump isn't incidental. HBM3E stacking physically moves DRAM dies closer to the compute die. You're pushing data faster, and that demands more energy. The power envelope is what the bandwidth costs. And 1000W means liquid cooling, which most data centers don't have.
So the solution to the memory wall requires infrastructure that, and this is the part that gets me, wasn't part of the problem. You solved one thing and generated a prerequisite that didn't exist before.
Right, and it compounds. NVLink scaling from 900 GB per S on the H100 to 1.8 TB per S on the B200, that sounds like the second win. But wait, actually, that's solving a second-order problem. You needed faster inter-GPU links because per GPU bandwidth was the first bottleneck. NVLink at 1.8 terabytes is the solution to a problem the original problem created.
So it's not a feature, it's a consequence.
And then there's the 192 gigabytes of HBM capacity on the B200, which helps because you reload weights less often across inference steps, but HBM supply is constrained. So one scarcity solved, three others created. Power, cooling infrastructure, memory supply. None of that is on the spec sheet.
And so that data center ops person, they're not making a bad call by wanting the B200. They're just inheriting a different set of walls than the ones NVIDIA announced they'd taken down.
There is a software side answer, though. FP8, FP4 quantization, you have the bytes per token, you've just effectively doubled your bandwidth. The roofline shifts, you move up the arithmetic intensity axis toward compute-bound territory. Mathematically, it works.
Right, but the roofline tells you asterisk, the trade happened, not whether it was okay to make it. And I keep sitting with this, somewhere between Golami's paper and a deployed model running FP4, someone decided how much precision was acceptable to sacrifice for throughput. And I'm not sure the people depending on that model's output were ever in that room.
The math doesn't resolve that. The math just says the trade-off is available.
And training's a bit different, higher arithmetic intensity, closer to compute bound, so the memory wall bites less hard there. But for inference at scale, the quantization decision is being made by whoever configures the deployment stack, and it's kind of invisible to everyone downstream.
We started with a chart 3.0 times versus 1.6 times, 2 decades, nobody measuring the door. And we end with someone quietly narrowed what fits through the door and called it a solution.
The door got wider and smaller at the same time, depending on who you ask. I'll be thinking about that one for a while. Thank you for working through it with me.